Welcome to the 10K Collective, my friends. Now, look, if you're listening for hacks and short-term tactics, I'm afraid you are in the wrong place. Let me tell you about the 10K Collective Mastermind. First of all, its members meet in person. They know each other well. They all make over $500,000 a year. Several make several million a year. Many have doubled their revenue over the last 18 months. If you're that kind of person, then this podcast is made for you. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective Podcast, the place for six, seven, eight-figure Amazon sellers. Today, we are talking again with Rob Patterson, who is the Chief Marketing Officer of Aweber, which is a company focused on making email marketing powerful but simple for small business owners so they can grow their business quickly. Music to my ears. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be back.
Good to have you back. Quick and simple are good words for me. So obviously the reality is that we've got to be a little bit more strategic than just use a magic tool and then suddenly money pours into our accounts. So I believe you have a 7-email strategy for converting readers into customers. And given that, as you said, blogs are still in a lot of ways the best way to get organic traffic, Google SEO is another thing that isn't dead, right? For sure.
And I absolutely
some email marketing as part of that mix is obviously a very tried and tested thing, but we need to be a bit more sophisticated to actually get our emails opened and even, of course, to get people onto the list in the first place. So talk us through it. 7-email strategy for converting readers into customers. Drum roll, please. Over to you.
So I think when you look at a lot of newbies and even people that are seasoned, they really look at email marketing and they say, well, what do I write? How do I get people engaged and how do I get started and those types of things? So I think when you look at your strategy and how you structure your email program, there's a few different things you want to hit on. And we kind of categorize them and as the 7 different types really of emails that you really want to send out. So the first thing, and I talked a little bit about this in the first podcast I did with you, Michael, but it's the welcome email. I mean, I think the welcome email is uber, uber critical. So if somebody signs up for your list, it's great to welcome them. And when you welcome them, it's also really awesome if you're an e-commerce player or you are selling some type of product or service, offer them a little bit of a discount to get engaged and to entice a little bit more of purchasing. And ultimately reiterate to them and really solidify yourself as an expert in the product or service that they signed up for to hear more about from you. So I think the welcome email is kind of the first step for a lot of people when they're looking at organizing their email marketing strategy. The next one is really what we call the story email. And the story email is really about telling the audience about yourself, about your company, and about what you do and why you do it and what your mission is. So I think it's really important to deliver a really strong story email so that you solidify yourself as a leader and thought expert or thought leader in your particular space so that customers have no doubt when they're purchasing from you, they're purchasing from an expert on your product or service. So that's a really important email to get out there. The next email that I think is critical is the value email. So try to talk to your customers about the value your business or your products provide before they actually purchase them. When you talk about the value that or problems that your product or service solve, it really hits a buying note with a lot of your customers or a lot of your prospects that you're trying to sell products and services to, because they can see themselves buying your product and solving that problem for themselves. So the value email is uber, uber critical when you're talking to your audience. The next is what we like to call the agitation email, or I like to call kind of the stoking email. And this is really, demonstrating. It could be a little bit abrupt. It could be a little bit odd to send sometimes, but it's really about hitting on the pain point that a lot of customers or prospects have that you're trying to address. So this is critical because one, it reinforces you as an expert that you understand the market and you understand the problems that prospect or customer is having, but it also shows that you're able to solve that problem with the products and services that you're offering. And that brings me to the solution email. So the solution email is when you unveil your ultimate product or your ultimate solution to a problem that you've identified for a particular market so that you're able to continue that story and really show them we understand your problem and we've developed this solution to solve that problem. So I think that when you look at the holistic strategy of email, that's an uber critical kind of battery within the overall email strategy that needs to happen in order for you to have an effective selling technique through your email marketing platforms or through your email marketing strategy. And the next is the proof email. So you've talked about the problem, you've talked about the solution, here's the proof that it actually works. So this is where things like testimonials and customer use cases and snapshots come into play, where you can talk about another company that had a similar problem, that purchased your solution and had success in solving their pain with your solution or product. Very, very critical, because it's a proof point and it reinforces you as an expert in understanding the problems in the market, having a solution for those problems, and having proof that those solutions actually work. And then the last step and last email is one that a lot of companies forget. It's really the follow-up email or the feedback email. So once a person purchases or maybe doesn't purchase, you need to follow up with them and find out why they did or why they didn't. This gives you good intelligence to go back and hone your email campaigns and your overall marketing strategies from the ground up, using data to really drive those changes. So getting feedback from both purchasers and non-purchasers is critical to hone your skills and hone your marketing programs to drive your business forward. So I think in summary, I said a lot there, but it's really about welcoming people. It's about telling the people about your business. It's about telling the people that you're going to provide value to them and deliver value through the solutions you sell to them. It's about identifying the pain, showing the people the solution, and showing the people the solution that works. So those three steps are very, very critical. That's the agitation email, the solution email, and the proof email. And then finally, get that feedback. So harvest back as much feedback as possible from purchasers and non-purchasers so that you can better hone your programs going forward using a data-driven approach.
This is great. And by the way, this harks back to, there's a couple of classic copywriting formulas, because they're based on human psychology, still apply. I think there's AIDA, obviously, that's a famous one. But this one is PAS, really. Is it problem, agitate, solution? And I think, obviously, it's still psychologically correct, because you need to make sure that you show people that they have got a problem. And then you need to really make sure they really see the problem. Otherwise, they won't be motivated enough to take action. But if you are providing a solution and it genuinely provides a solution that is going to be better than them doing nothing or even buying one of your competitors' products, then I suppose you can salve your conscience about the agitation part, because nobody feels great about that. But the truth is, as Perry Marshall, who's a doyen of internet marketing, including emails, again, he's one of the probably three internet marketers whose emails I actually open and read every single one almost. It's like a three out of several hundred. I mean, this is like 0.5% of the world, maybe 0.3. But so he's great at email marketing, but he says that most people don't spend enough time on the agitation part. Yep. So tell me a bit more about that. You've got a 7-part email series. That's probably making enough people sweat, I imagine. But if we wanted to add to that or sort of augment it, what would be the next step up, the next simplest step, I suppose?
So I think if 7 can be kind of overwhelming, and I apologize for that. But I think if you really wanted to break it down, I talked about kind of the three most critical emails that are within that process. And the agitation email, I think, is really, really critical, because it gets people thinking. It's almost like a shake the trees email, right? So when you shake the trees, things fall out. And the agitation email is the process of shaking the trees, because people realize, aha, I have that problem. So once you realize, or once you enlighten people to potentially they have that problem, and it may be something they're aware of, it may not be something they're aware of. But then the next critical piece is showing them the solution, which is your product or service. And once you show them the solution and map it to that pain point, you then need to reinforce it through the third piece, which is the customer testimonial or the email that proves that you have the value that you're saying you do through a third party. So it's not you saying it, it's somebody else saying it that's actually purchased your product. So take those 7 steps, break it down to those three. If you did those three, those are the most critical as far as I'm concerned within that process.
That's awesome. And by the way, what I love about, I've had some really good marketers on the show, and including yourself, with a lot of data and experience that they're basing it on. I know that AWeber is doing a lot of research and you're very data driven, which is great. And one of the wonderful things about email is that you're not overwhelmed with numbers. I'm like, for me, let's talk about this, because we're about to talk about what's coming up. Actually, tell me a bit about the data side with emails. I mean, for some people, they'll be like, their eyes will be glazing over. For me, I'm like waking up at this point, but whatever floats your boat. The traditional ones are open rates, click-through rates, and I guess the deliverability rate. So just explain in normal English what those ones mean, and then let's dig into whether there are other metrics which can actually really help us these days as well.
So I'll reference a little bit. Just recently, AWeber in our marketing department did some research of about 1,000 small business owners gave us good feedback, and we were able to kind of mold everything together and come up with some good conclusions off of that data. But we also talked to some leading industry experts around marketing, around best practices and that type of thing. If you're interested in that report, it's available for download. Michael, you probably have it available through your site, so people can go to your site and download that report.
I'll just tell you the URL is amazingfba.com/report if you want to get that.
Perfect. So there's a lot of different stats out there for marketing, right? And I can bang my head on a wall all day and like data comes out of my ears. So it all starts, as far as I'm concerned, with the quality of your list and the engagement of your list. So we didn't do any specific research in this, but typically from an opt-in perspective, when you look at using certified opt-in as kind of your email tactic, so you're not purchasing lists, but you're getting people engaged and into your universe to talk to, we typically go back about 6 to 8 months in terms of last engagement with the company of people we talk to. People that are older than that, we find that it's not great to email them because it has negative impacts in the overall business. So 6 to 8 months is a good range in terms of talking to prospects and customers, unless they engage with you. So when they engage with you, that time frame resets. But from that, I think the first thing you look at is open rates. So open rates are people actually opening your email and looking at your email. So they're being exposed to your brand, your messaging, everything from the colors to what your actual offer is inside of that email, which is awesome. So if you go a little bit further down the funnel, you have to look at what was the call to action inside of that email and what was the click-through rate. So in terms of click-through rates, this is people taking action on what the call to action is inside of the email. So we saw through the research that we did that 65% of small businesses, if you have open rates between 11 and 50%, you're doing pretty well. And if you have click-through rates between 0 and 10%, you're doing pretty well. So we found that the majority of click-through rates really fall into the about 6 to 8% range. And open rates fall anywhere from the 30 to 40% range, but the range overall was 11 to 50% in the data that we looked at. As far as frequency goes, and I'll talk about deliverability here in just a second, a little more than half of the email companies we talk to email at least once a week, but almost all of the companies we talk to, all 1,000 companies, email at least once per month. So it's good to keep a good cadence of emails going to your audience, whether they're offers, whether they're new products, whether they're, we talked about a little bit earlier, I believe in the previous podcast that we did, Michael, about aggregating blog content. So getting content in front of your audience is uber critical. You don't want to go silent on them. And again, the email channel is really, as far as I'm concerned, the best one-to-one marketing channel you can have with a customer or a prospect. So it's important to keep that channel open and keep that line of communication open over the long term. Now, from a deliverability standpoint, there's a lot of different terminology you'll hear in deliverability: hard bounces, soft bounces, rejection rates. But when you look at deliverability, what we really hone in on as a company, and we really take a lot of pride in, is our ability that we own our own deliverability internally. We don't outsource it. So we have deliverability teams internally that all they do is make sure that when you send an email on the AWeber platform, that email is delivered to that person in the inbox and not the spam folder. There's a lot of different factors that go into the email actually making it to the inbox, of least which is what's actually contained within the email. It has a lot to do with reputation. It has a lot to do with how the company or the technology that you're using as a email consumer, so Gmail or Yahoo, actually interacts with the servers that are sending the message. So we take a lot of pride in our deliverability rates, which are extremely high, industry leading, as a matter of fact. So we own that from top to bottom, and it's something we take a lot of pride in terms of overall deliverability. And I'd say that we're north of 95, 96% in terms of messages hitting the inbox. That's something we look at on a minute-by-minute basis. We have live real-time dashboards internally to make sure we're keeping that deliverability rate as high as possible.
Excellent. Well, so for those of you whose brains have glazed over, we got some more technical stuff coming, I'm afraid. So this is probably more for the email nerds, but I would really encourage anyone to nerd out. The wonderful thing about email, if you think about the amount of data that Google Analytics can spit at you, if you just even look at it, is just mind-melting to me, because I'm not really a techie person. But Facebook ads is so many options going through the door, never mind what comes out of the analytics. Quite as frankly as Google, Amazon is, on the one hand, extremely bad at communicating analytics to us, but on the other hand, we'll spit out data all year about all sorts of things. So what I love about email is we can afford to get quite nerdy because it's a more limited universe in my mind. So am I right, or is there actually like a Google Analytics humming away at the back end that you just hide away from the consumers most of the time?
So we monitor a lot of things on the back end with our email, and we don't sell any of our data or anything like that. It's all designed for really making sure that our services are optimized for people using our services. Mm-hmm. That's why we monitor those types of things. But there's stuff that are on the back end, like I don't even understand. A lot of it is set up for our deliverability team. A lot of it is set up for really understanding how people are using our platform so that we can continue to make it, you know, powerfully simple for everybody to get emails and landing pages built. So if you go to our headquarters, when we're all back in the office, which we aren't right now, but when we have TV screens all around our office of different statistics that we look at. And if something falls below a certain threshold, it throws a whole bunch of alarms and flags up through different channels, everything from Slack to an actual light that lights up in the development area.
I love the idea that there's a klaxon siren going off and a red flashing light in the AWeber headquarters. That's beautiful. Well, look, anyway, I plunged into nerdville. Let's get back to real life.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
For busy entrepreneurs, which includes myself, I need to get myself keeping it simple here. You've got a couple of things that are coming up in 2020. So first of all, the thing I've got on my list here is dynamic content. What is dynamic content? And can you give us an example of that?
So dynamic content's it's a very powerful tool and is a really exciting advancement in email technology that we're pretty pumped about. So there's a couple of different ways to do dynamic content. We offer dynamic content natively in our platform. So basically what this allows you to do is create one email and vary the content that's in that email for the particular audience that's receiving it. So imagine if you're a pet store and you have people within your email list that are cat owners and dog owners. You essentially can create one email and apply dynamic content for that email so that people that are tagged in your database as cat owners receive the cat content, and people that are people that are dog owners receive the dog content. So again, this goes back to really honing your message and making it easier for you to create very specific messages for specific audiences. So we do that natively inside of our platform. So we're pretty excited about that dynamic content piece. The other piece is supporting AMP for email. So AMP for email is AMP, which stands for the Accelerated Mobile Page Protocol, that was developed by a bunch of different companies and a conglomerate that was headed up by Google. But the AMP for email piece is a piece that allows very dynamic messages to be sent and interactive messages to be sent that from the inbox. So think of it this way. If you have multiple images that you want to be seen, you can set up that up in what's called an image carousel so that people can cycle through images inside of their inbox instead of having to go to a landing page or website to do so. Another example would be if you have a registration form that would normally be housed on a landing page or within a website, you can now embed that registration form for an upcoming event or open house at your store in the email itself so that everything can be done within the inbox of the person receiving it. So pretty cool technology, which we enable in our platform. We are the first email service provider for small businesses to support AMP for email directly in our message builder. So if you use AWeber or you try AWeber out, you can use AMP for email inside of the message editor and create emails that contain that technology. So the other thing is really looking at how do you handle contacts and handle lists within the database. And what we're doing is we're coming up with new tools to allow you to segment and allow you to tag users inside of your data set much easier. Because the better you can hone your emails and the better you can create emails for specific audiences and messages for specific audiences, the more products and services you're ultimately going to sell, because you're not sending something out to a mass audience. You're creating a very, very one-to-one conversation with a potential buyer. And those conversations have a substantially higher rate of actually closing in a sold product or service versus just sending out a wide message to the audience. So we're enacting different technologies in our platform that allow you to do simple manipulation of your data sets to apply tags so that you can better segment your data and get those messages out to the right people at the right time. So There's really awesome stuff coming from an email perspective, not only from AWeber, but just as an industry as a whole. And we're pretty excited about some of the stuff that's coming down the road.
That's great. And what I really think is this, that people fall in love with what the visible aspects of something, or when it's new or it looks kind of fresh. But the truth is that the visual aspect of a Facebook message, although it seems new, it's actually not really any different to SMS in some ways. Okay, I mean, SMS, it's harder to do a chatbot type thing. But what's happening on the back end, you know, in other words, once you've got a load of data, the way you treat the data to turn it back from a list, which is just data and not personal, back into a personal experience, but at a massive scale, is really what excites me. And I don't think that's got much to do with the medium of email as such. It's more to do with the way you split up the database, as you said. Really, I think what it harks back to is the fact that you could be in 1890s in America. As soon as they built the original net, the network of the railway network, that's when the guys started, the famous people back in the day, is it Sears? And those guys, they started creating the catalog businesses. And you could do split tests. It's been done for decades and decades and decades by the guys in the direct mail pieces. So this is not a new thing, but the idea that you can really get a massive number of people and send them an automated type marketing message, but that comes down as really personal, for me, that's the exciting piece. And I don't really care what the medium is in a way. That's the piece that excites, because I know just how powerful messages and market matches, as you said, higher conversion rates, better open rates, better click-through rates. It's always just a huge game changer, that. So that to me sounds like the single most exciting thing. It's that message to market match thing for me.
And I think your analogy that you made between the SMS message and a lot of the social media platforms is exactly right. The way that I kind of categorize it is social media is a one-to-many interaction, whereas email allows you, if done properly through segmenting and through creating specific messages for audiences, allows you to have a very intimate one-to-one conversation with a prospect or customer. It's very different in terms of how you interact with your audiences. And I think the ability to send email is not going away. Nobody is stopping. Actually, we're seeing growth in the overall email marketing market right now, which is awesome to see, of course, as an email provider. But it just shows me that everybody is, I don't want to say over the social media channels, because I think there's still value in what it provides in delivering messages to market. But I think that people see the value in email marketing and they're coming back to it as far as being able to interact on that one-to-one, more intimate basis with prospects and customers.
Absolutely, yes. It's still in the game for sure. A couple of basic things to say. First of all, if you want to get that report that Rob was mentioning, just to mention that URL again, because I think if you care about statistics, and most internet-based or digital marketers seem to, I certainly love my numbers, you go to amazingfba.com/report, and that'll be very interesting to get a sort of state of the union summary. And then the other thing is getting started with AWeber. So Rob, just take us home with that. Just how do we actually get started? If people are excited about getting started with email marketing with AWeber, what do they do next?
So we offer a full 30-day trial. So you can visit aweber.com and sign up for our free trial. It's not feature gated. You get everything within your first 30 days, everything from our landing page builder to our drag and drop editor to our industry leading deliverability. So everything that you would normally get as a paying customer, you would completely get with our 30-day trial. And we don't feature gate any of our pricing tiers. So even at the lowest tier, you get everything that people at the highest tier get. We simply just goes up by the number of subscribers you have on your list. So as your list grows, you're obviously getting more value out of us. You know, we want to grow the tier that you're actually using, so that it's not about features, it's about growing your business over the long term. And then next is our Smart Designer product. So Michael, I know you have a link to AWeber, so amazingfba.com/AWeber. You can get to our Smart Designer. You can enter your website URL or your social media URL and start creating really awesome looking templates in a matter of seconds using some of our artificial intelligence machine learning technology built into the Smart Designer. So basically it removes like all the complexity out of creating really awesome looking emails, and it does it for you automatically. Michael, I know you were talking, you were just playing with it before recording here and you were having some fun with it. So I suggest everybody go out there and check it out. It's actually a really cool tool that can provide a lot of value for you.
Absolutely. It seems very straightforward to use. I did have a little play with it indeed. And for somebody like me who's more words focused and who's pretty bad on design, I'm quite happy to have some help with that. So I think that's a very nice little tool. So listen, Rob, being very, very interesting to dig into email. I love the fact that pretty much one of the oldest technologies in the I was going to say not even the web. I think technically the internet or the web, one of them came first, didn't it? I can never remember which it is. But the email's very, very back in the day technology. But it's lovely to think that it's developing still, which is a fantastic thing. And I'd urge everyone to check out email marketing, and AWeber is obviously kind of the granddaddy of email service providers, right? And you guys are still growing and developing, so worth checking out, and really great to hear about it. So Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you, Michael. And I hope everybody enjoyed the podcast here, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to the 10K Collective podcast, part of the family of amazing FBA podcasts. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com.